That has created one other problem. The music minister there is 5'2". But good morning, and thank you for welcoming us here to Wilsonville Baptist Church in the middle of Alabama. You know, a miracle happened over the weekend. And it's like none other than you thought of. Because in your midst, you welcomed the Ohio State Buckeye fam. And if Ohio State Buckeye fans can get along with Bama fans, we're doing all right. But I thank you. I thank you for your hospitality, for your flexibility. You know, this doesn't look like your normal sanctuary on a normal Sunday morning, and I appreciate your flexibility of doing this today for us. Changing up a little bit, but thank you. Now, there are a few people I would like to thank you. Now, is Claire and, what do you call it, Linda and Claire, Sherry, I'm sorry, Linda and Sherry from the kitchen in here? All right, somebody go fetch me them two girls, will you? But I love them to death, and they do have hearts of service, but, you know, they have spent their weekend in that kitchen, and I do want a personal thank you. Now, are there other people in here that have been engaged in the weekend? Have you housed somebody? Yeah, stand up. If you have housed one of us strange and unusual foreigners, please stand. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. Stay up. Stay standing. Now, if you opened your home to a coffee, will you stand? Now, come on. Now, you guys, now, appreciate you immensely. Now, if you were engaged even in a little bit of this weekend in preparation for it, you were on the communication committee, you know, you sent out emails, you volunteered to do other things, I want you to stand. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it immensely. And there's my girls. Thank you. Thank you. Now, wait a minute. Don't be running away, Miss Claire. I see you trying to sneak off on me. Ladies, from the bottom of my heart to the abundance of my belly, I thank you. I do not go away wanting this weekend. We church renewal people are very trainable. You start feeding us, we show up. You stop feeding us after lunch today, and we leave. We be Baptists. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate you mentally. Also would like to say thank the team members. Team members are from 9 different states. Around from Illinois and North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, Ohio there. Well, you know, we crossed that bridge already, Miss Wendy. I don't want to go over there. But team members, stand for a minute, please. Thank you. Thank you for your obedience and following God's call. I do appreciate it. Now, I would be remiss to say that after this weekend, my wife was talking this morning in the Sunday school class we were in, and church, we don't want this just to be an event that happens in your church. That you get all fired up, get going, get moving, and you see God at work in your life, and 6 weeks from now, it's just a nice fond memory. This is a starting point. This is a place where you can put one of them spiritual markers down in your life, in the church, life of your church, and move forward and say, God was real there to me and to my church, and that we can move forward. And we can always go back to that point and say, we know you're God, and you know we are your people. And we trust in you. And we pledge our allegiance and obedience to you and nothing else. You know, Because if you don't, it'll be like, I'm sorry, youth, I'm going to pick you on you. We're at the youth here today. You know, it's kind of like the youth a lot of times that go out and go to, you know, their summer youth camp and everything, and they come fired up and come back from youth camp, and they're just like BBs in the punch bowl. And 6 months later, you know, everything has died down. You know, this is something you need to sustain. This is something you need to build on. This is something that needs to get you out beside the four walls of this church today and move forward. You know, it's sustainable through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rely upon Him, and He will guide and direct you. And part of that is getting engaged with one another. And there's vehicles that are out there in that foyer to help you do that. One of the things that this church has mentioned this weekend is that, well, you know, I was a small group, and you know what? I found a whole heck of a lot about each other in that small group. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know Sally Sue was carrying those burdens. I didn't know Jimmy had that in his past. You know, I think the intimacy and acquaintance of small groups knits and binds church together. It builds committed, intimate relationships in the Lord Jesus Christ that lets you move forward together in a unified body. So out there on that table is a lot of suggestions for small groups opportunities. I ask you as a church to take that seriously and sign up for one of those small groups that would move you forward and move this church forward. You know, I mentioned last night in last night's service, you're either doing one thing. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing in Christ, you're dying. It's one way or another. If a tree stops growing, it dies, it's dead. So I urge you to do that. And thank you forever, whoever set up that book table out for us today. So please take that into consideration. If you have your Bibles this morning, Ezekiel, 36 chapter, one short verse. Beginning with verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put in you a new spirit. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and careful to keep my laws. You know, I have found something out in my own personal life that many times, you know, I'm a nurse by profession. And, you know, there's a lot of voice back. Hardening of the arteries, you know. Yeah. Guess what? If you live heart long enough, you start getting arteries that are all clogged up. And, you know, stopped up. And the muscle of your heart actually starts to die. And if you ever seen a heart muscle die, it becomes unelastic and really hard. You know, I've been in autopsy. You know, you can hit that part of the heart. It is rock. It's literally, you know, it get pretty stony. But you know what? Sometimes as we live in our life, our own spiritual heart gets the same way. You know, we live life, things start affecting on us, just like our diet affects our heart and clogs up them arteries. Things that we do in our lives begin to make our heart hard. You know, in the medical field, we have all kinds of operations and procedures to help clean out those arteries and blood flow. But God has given us a spiritual medicine to take care of that hardened heart. You know, and it is through an intimate relationship. It restores to fleshy heart. You know, I was a baseball player, can't tell it now. But I loved baseball. Growing up, I thought I was going to be the incarnation of Brooks Robinson to play third base for the Cincinnati Reds. You know, by the time I was 16 and decided I had couldn't figure out the riddle of the curveball, I knew that dream was missing, you know. But anyway, I had a baseball glove I had probably for 10 or 15 years, you know, and I lived in Ohio, so, you know, from about the end of October to the 1st of March, it just sit in the closet. You know, hard to play baseball in a snowfield. But every spring you come out and that leather glove had sat in that closet all winter long. And what happens with leather if it sits around long? It gets stiff. And you put your hand in it and you go, and you know, you have to get out some oil and that and lube that up again and, you know, it gets flexible. You work the third ball in it, keep getting that. Finally, yeah, okay, that's useful now. But, you know, if you tried to use that glove when it wasn't flexible, you know, the ball would hit it, and that would be like a rock and roll pop out. You know, there's nothing like the sound of a baseball when it hits a glove, and you hear the slap of the pop. There's just something about that sound for ball players. That the ball hits it, whack! You know you got it. Hearts are the same way. We have a hardened heart as we approach people around us. They pop off of us. They just rub up against us and they kind of bounce off of us. See, but if we have that heart for the Lord and heart of God, and have that heart of flesh, we run into people and we just wrap our lives around them. And we hear that sweet sound of squawk. We got another. You know, to protect and put that glove, that oil on your heart, and that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And become supple and a usable vessel that would be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is the heart condition that Jesus Christ has. Today, as in the other services, we have been sharing in testimony. Testimonies are a powerful thing. I told the gentleman yesterday in the men's group that nobody can refute your testimony. It's real, it's personal, it is yours. People in this world can try to refute and argue about a lot of things, but they can't argue your testimony because it is yours and it is personal. So this day I've asked Marshall to come and give his testimony. Then Cecil and Betty are going to do some special music. And then Richard and Claire are also going to do their testimony. So, Marshall, thank you, brother.
Good morning. I'm Marshall Pardon. I'm from Thomasville, Alabama. And I'm just like you. I'm a son saved by the grace of God. And that's what I want to talk about. August 9th. 1965 at 8:45 on Thursday night, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, it wasn't long, about October sometimes, but until then, I was growing, I'd read, I'd pray, I'd do, you know, what new Christians did. Sometime about October, my brother-in-law come by, he left the kids. He said, Marshall, I know you go to church. He said, I'm going fishing. Won't you go fishing with me? He said, it won't hurt you to miss one Sunday. Ooh, was he wrong. That started my spiritual growth doing this. Just a quick story of how bad I got. One night, I done got about 19 years old. And I was off with my nephew, which was 6 months older than me. And I got so drunk. He stopped. I told him I had to go to the bathroom. And I don't remember this. He had to tell me what happened. But I was so drunk when I got out of the car to use the bathroom, I laid down in the ditch to use the bathroom. But you know, God got me out of that ditch. I got married. Got married in September. in 70, December the 18th of 71, we had our first son. And you know, you're so proud of your children when they're born. You got to go show them off. So we entered the doors of the church. And we went to church and showed off our little boy. 2 years later, we had another one, same thing. Wanted to go show that little boy. Well, it wasn't too long after that, a friend's ours, we loved to play root. We had friends over and they was playing root, and the guy just looked up and he said, "We got a new pastor." He said, "Won't y'all go to church for us tomorrow?" And it was a church that I was raised in. And I didn't even know they had a new pastor. But we went. Wasn't long after that, hunting season come in. We started going, got to be friends with the pastor. And, hunting season come in. I didn't went to church on Sunday morning. I went to church for it on Sunday night. Georgia got, the oldest boy got about 2.5 years old. And he's had trouble with his tonsils for over a year. He got where he couldn't swallow a piece of meat as big as a little, my little finger. And the doctor told him, said, "We got to take those tonsils out." But we had it all set up. And about 2 weeks before he was supposed to take his tonsils out, my brother-in-law's little sister had her, was going to have her. They put her to sleep. She reacted to the medicine that put her to sleep. She died. 2 weeks later, my boy was supposed to go through the same thing. So I started praying and said, "God, don't let that happen to my son." I've always heard, if you're not where God wants you to be, he'll hurt somebody you love to reach you. Don't let my little boy suffer for what I did. Let me suffer. Always heard God answer prayers. He went in the hospital on Tuesday morning, had his tonsils took out Thursday morning, came home doing great. Thursday night, I thought I would die. My fever was going up a half a degree every 30 minutes. And I had this terrible pain in my chest. Lay in the hospital 8 days. I had a long time to talk with God. Me and God had understanding. Well, I had understanding. I told God, I said, "God, I'll do what you want me to do." That turned my spiritual walk with God around. God answered my prayers. He let me suffer for what I did, and he gave me a lesson. After they boys had got 6, 8 years old, we went to a little Bible conference up in North Mississippi, Camp Zion. We were sitting in there. They gave an invitation. I went up and I prayed, "God, I don't want my boys to be like I was. I don't want them to get drunk. I don't want them to do the things I did. I want them to be good Christian boys." God answered my prayers, folks. I got a son as a pastor. I got a son as an ordained deacon. And he's so good to us. He's so good. So good. And I got a little ministry I want to share with you. It's, God's blessed me with a little piece of land. My son is a pastor. He takes some boys down hunting. And over the last to make 10 years it's been down there, we've probably had at least 30, 35 kids kill their first deer. It gives us a chance to talk to these boys about God. It gives them a chance that they do things that they wouldn't get to do otherwise. There ain't no telling how many of them has just come down and hunting and wouldn't have get to go if it hadn't been for the opportunity we gave them. 2 weeks ago, I took 6 boys down there. They don't have a daddy in their home. And we took them squirrel hunting. And I don't know how many times them boys and their mamas has told me, see, they enjoyed that so much. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And I try to be available to God. Thank you.
One of my favorite scriptures, and probably yours, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My brother wrote a lot of music, and he was thinking that word, whosoever, and he penned the words of this song as the Holy Spirit spoke to him. It says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Before I get started, I'm going to ask my beloved wife if she would pray for me so that I would say what I need to say for your sake. Thank you. Let me start with a verse of scripture from James chapter 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously, without reproach, and it will be given to him. When my dad's older brother died in 2009, I became caretaker for my aunt. We were living in Cartersville, Georgia. She's in Knoxville, Tennessee. So it's long distance. We would drive up every 4 to 6 weeks to check on her. It wasn't too long before she got a diagnosis of dementia. And I was blessed that he had wisdom and foresight get one of those lovely long-term care insurance policies that would pay for caregivers to be with her. So we began that journey. It hit a crisis point last year when I got a call from the service, and they said, Richard, if you don't do something about getting her into assisted living soon, we're going to have to report it to the authorities. Tennessee is one of the states that has very good, very strong elder care laws. So I paid attention, did the investigating. I did my side. Then when I sat down to talk to my aunt, the week, actually it was the week after we got home from burying her dad, my wife's dad, that I had to have that talk with my aunt. I went into it with a, mentally, it was a, I'm going to move you even if I have to pick you up and carry you out of this building kicking and screaming. She was in a senior care center. She had her own apartment, went down for dinner. It was a very nice situation, but it was no longer the right place for her. I knew she wasn't going to be happy, which is why I was mentally prepared the other way. And this is where the wisdom verse comes in. Somehow in my mental fog of being committed to doing the right thing for her and wanting what was best for her, I remembered to stop and pray and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your help in getting this to happen, for her to agree to the move. Well, we had our fight. Went in on a Thursday morning and sat down and we started talking. And my aunt was a delightful Southern lady. She turned sideways in her rocker recliner, because that was the way the room was set up, adamantly pounded her arms down on the arm of the chair and said, "No, I'm not going." Fortunately, I listened and heard her say something that gave me hope. That what this is all your thing. Nobody else is telling you to do this. So I called the service that we were using for the caregivers. And I'd gotten her to agree in our conversation. Well, if somebody from there will come and talk with you, will you at least listen to them? So they came and talked with her. And wouldn't you know that within 20 minutes, they said, "Okay, yeah, she'll move." And she did. God's timing. And I count it a blessing that indeed I learned to use my ears instead of my mouth to listen to what was on her heart, to hear what she had to say. It helped. It helped significantly. I told the young lady who was the executive director of the assisted living facility, because she started in the assisted living end, that in my mind, if we could get 3 months, because I knew she was declining. With dementia, you'd never know. And I count it a blessing that it was ordinary dementia instead of an Alzheimer's. But I knew that there was going to be a short time of some sort. Told the executive director, if I can get 3 months out of this, then I will count every bit of the grief and trouble well worth it. Went longer than that. This is the second part of wisdom. February 11th, she died. We had the good fortune, two previous Fridays, to make the run, 3 hours each way for us on a day trip. And the last one. And the last part of wisdom was that I realized that even though she was a member of a church, she hadn't been to that church in I don't know how long. She'd been watching a TV preacher as long as she could remember how to do the remote control, which that probably stopped. Actually, I had the caregivers using a DVR record the service to help her watch. But in my advanced planning, I decided that, okay, I'll do her funeral. And as I sat down on the Thursday before her funeral on Saturday. I had a good sketch going. Wasn't my first time. Actually, I think it's my third funeral. But I also stopped then. I said, God, what do I need to say for me, as well as for the folks who would be there? And then it flowed. And then that Saturday morning, as we had the celebration and the goodbye, it flowed. I don't know where you are, where God has you in your journey, but I would tell you that if you're facing a big challenge, pray for wisdom. He will give it to you. He is faithful. Always He's faithful to give us what we need to get through the challenges that are ahead. And that is part of the good news that we can celebrate.
Good morning. I'm Claire Connor. I'm from Eunice, Louisiana. And my husband prays for me daily. I know that. So I'm going to ask my friend, Bonnie, if she would lift me up, please. I'm a wife of 47 and a half years. I'm the mother of two adopted children and the grandmother of eight grandchildren. Very proud of all of that. It's been a blessing from God, truly from God. But I want to tell you about my eighth grandbaby. 3 years ago, our son and daughter-in-law decided that they were going to get into the foster care program because they felt like God had given them so much in being adopted that they wanted to give back. They went through the program, and the week after they graduated, they had told the social worker, our youngest, they had two boys and a girl, and our youngest is seven. So we would like a little girl under the, six or under. No baby. Just, that's what they wanted. And I'll mention my son is a pastor. Well, a social worker called 2 days after they graduated and said, we have a six-week-old baby that is coming out of PICU that we need to place now. Would you be willing to take him? And she was like, yeah, sure. She said, until we can find a home for him. So my son went to the church, got a baby bed, brought it home. 2.5 years later, he's still with us. He is a handicapped baby. He has seizures. He has Sturgis Weber, which is a big birthmark along the side of his face. It has damaged his eye and his ear, his hearing. And with the seizures and stuff, the neurologist has said he will never sit, he will never walk, he will never speak. They just went on with a whole list. And I do believe, because of prayer from their church, because of the love that he was given. He doesn't speak. He stands if you hold him. And he sits for about a minute by himself. So he is improving. God is working in him. We know that. But when they told the social worker that they wanted a little girl, six or under, the scripture came to mind, and it should have his too, because he's a pastor, you know. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my ways. My thoughts, says the Lord. But God had a plan. Well, his plan for me when this all started was, oh no, I am not going to get attached to this baby. I'm not going to, he's not going to get my heart. I'm not going to do this. Well, guess what? His ways are not my thoughts, and my, you know, his thoughts are not my thoughts. Because he has wrapped himself around my heart, around the whole family. Well, for these almost three years, we have lived with the, I won't say anxiety, but the thought behind our head that the mother gave up her parental rights at 6 weeks, but the dad would not give up his parental rights. So we have been living with this, that he could come back at any moment and say, I want my son. And he keeps saying that, but his actions do not show that. And this past week, the social worker called and said that the judge has decided after 2.5, he hasn't seen him in 2 years. After these 2 years, they're going to terminate his parental rights. Now, I think he has come before the judge or something. I'm not sure all that. But what I'm asking you today is to pray with us. We want God's will to be done in this baby's life and in our lives. But I would like you to pray with me this next week that the judge will follow through with this declaration that she has made and allow that baby to stay in our home, in our family, in their home, to be loved and nurtured. And I do believe God's going to do a miracle in his life. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Betty, Cecil, if you'll come play softly. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard testimonies of a great God. You heard testimonies that we worship and have a live Savior who's active in our lives, that are still wanting and calling and longing us to return to Him. He seeks us even when we're far off. Just like the prodigal son's daddy. He's watching, he's waiting. He's longing to restore his relationship with his children. I ask you to stand as we sing. What is your response to our Father's voice? Is the day you finally say, I hear you, Father. I hear you calling me home. Today is the day I unite my life with you. That in eternity, when I am become accountable, you will say, this is my son. I knew who he was. Because see, the other option to that is that if you're not his child, you don't enter His kingdom. It's very simple. The day I ask you to get that right, if you have not gotten that right, let this day be the day you give your life to the Lord and Savior. I plead and beg and beseech you to do that if you're here and do not know Him. Let this be the day that you do it. The other option is that the Lord Jesus Christ has been working amongst His people this weekend. He has been speaking to your hearts, been telling you and revealing things about your life. Today is to finally come and place them at His altar. We come heavy burdened. You know, and sometimes we love to carry the burdens around. We may have come to this altar before and laid those burdens down here only to pick them up and walk away with them. And our Heavenly Father said, "Son, how can I deal with them if you don't leave them with me?" That burden may have a name on it. It may be an individual. It may be your wife, husband, son, daughter, father, mother. The day is to turn them over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that's a tough thing to do. But I ask you to do it today. If you have other dealings with the Lord, I ask you to come and do that now. And last but not least, God did not create the church to have any lone rangers. He expects us to be part of a body of believers. If you're out there and you don't have a church and God has led you here, you need to unite with this church. Just because the same reason is when the 99 sheep were all safe and secure, the shepherd went hunting for the one lost one. Because he knew that sheep was in danger. And if you're alone walking this world, the devil's going to take notice. The devil will eat your lunch if you're trying to do it on your own, without other believers in your life, without fellowship. So I come to you today, begging you to do one of those things. As I ask Pastor Steve to come and stand here, I ask you to respond to the call of Jesus Christ in your life. But as they play and as we sing, I ask you to come just as you are.